Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are now discussing about Bhima and we are coming towards the climax of the Mahabharata, the 17th and the 18th day. So, Bhima had exhibited heroism repeatedly throughout the war, throughout the 16 days of the war, and 17th day, barely 20 of the Kauravas remained. And Bhima, by the end of the 16th day, so in the 17th day, Bhima tore into them one by one, relentlessly. And that day, Karna fought Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira initially checked Karna, but then Karna overpowered Yudhishthira, wounding him severely. Yudhishthira had to retire. And when he retired, then Krishna suggested, Arjuna, you should go and see how Yudhishthira's condition is. So when Arjuna decided to go back, so then he told Bhima, you know, can you look after the army while I am gone? I'll go to check the well-being of the king. So he immediately agreed. And Bhima, now without Yudhishthira and without Arjuna, it was a heavy responsibility on Bhima. But Bhima kept fighting relentlessly. He just tore into the enemy camp, breaking their formations, breaking their morale, breaking their bodies. And as Bhima charged in, practically was unstoppable. On this day, this was the day when sooner or later Karna and Arjuna were going to have their final fight. But Karna was delaying that because he wanted to fight with others. And he wanted to break as much havoc in the Pandava camp as possible. And he did not confront Bhima directly on this way. Although there was some confrontation happening here and there. Bhima kept fighting. And although he was surrounded by Kaurava warriors on all sides, they knew that if now the current functional head of the Pandavas, that is Bhima, if they could overpower him, if they could kill him, then the scales would tilt almost very significantly in their side. But Bhima was unreachable and he kept fighting. And Arjuna came back after meeting Yudhishthira. The details of that incident we'll discuss later when we talk about Arjuna. But when he came back, Arjuna saw that Bhima was surrounded by enemies from all sides. And Bhima, you know, he was at one level in anxiety. What has happened to Yudhishthira? Why has Arjuna not come back? And he asked his chariot, you know, how much weapons do I have? You know, can I use bow and arrow? Or should I just launch into my enemy with mace and destroy them? Bhima was so undaunted in the spirits of fighting that even if he would have no weapons, still he would keep fighting. That was his spirit. And then after that, as he kept fighting like this, tirelessly, heroically, then eventually he realized that now Krishna and Arjuna came back and then they took over. And of course, Ashoka told him that, you know, you have enough arrows still in your chariot. No need to worry. You can fight whichever way you like. And then as Bhima was fulfilling his vow, killing one by one the Kaurava brothers. So at that time, finally, Dushasan, not being able to tolerate this, you know, practically only a handful of the brothers were now remaining. Dushasan charged towards Bhima with fearsome prowess, and he exhibiting his full skill, attacked Bhima arrow after arrow, suddenly sent a series of arrows that tore into Bhima's body. It was a fight of arrows, and Bhima was so stunned that his bow slipped from his hand, and Dushasan roared in joy, as did his brothers. And following it up in swift succession, Dushasan took an arrow that looked like thunder and hurled it through his bow with full force that pierced into the vitals of Bhima, and Bhima almost swooned. He almost swooned, and he was falling. He grabbed the pole for support. So Dushasan, you know, he was also very strong. But he also suffered from the evil of overconfidence and arrogance. So he had an opportunity. He had Bhima weakened by his double attack. But rather than capitalizing on the opportunity, he started jeering, and his brother started cheering, and they started delighting in the weakness of Bhima. But Bhima, being an indomitable warrior, quickly recovered. And you know, for a warrior to be overcome even temporarily, it's something which aggravates. Suppose a champion bowler is there, and that some batsman hits him for a sixer. Then that bowler gets aggravated, and then he wants to bowl even better and get even. So Bhima felt enraged, and rather than continue fighting with arrows, he just charged forward, picking up his mace. Now, Dushasan, the smile from his face disappeared. He thought Bhima is about to fall and die now. And suddenly Bhima has risen like a gigantic avenging angel and is charging down at me. He started taking arrow and shooting dart after dart. Bhima was so unstoppable. He was swinging his mace and no dart could pierce his mace. All the darts just flew away. And Bhima came right up to Dushasan's chariot and swung his mace in a mighty arc, and that hit Dushasan on his head. And Dushasan flew out of his chariot and went 20 yards and fell far away. And Bhima jumped off his chariot and sprang towards him. Dushasan was bloodied and dizzied by the blow and the fall. And he tried to get up. But before he could get up, Bhima sprang on him, pounced on him, and started pounding him. And as Dushasan almost lost consciousness, he tried to get up and fight, but Bhima pounded him with senseless rage. And then, remembering how Dushasan had insulted Draupadi, how with his hand he had grabbed her hair, how he had grabbed her cloth. So he took out his sword and he raised that sword to chop off that hand. Dushasan's face distorted with horror, kicked frantically, somehow trying to break free. As he was lying on the ground, but Bhima had got a deathly grip on him, and he raised the sword in the high arc and lopped off the arm of Dushasan. And he just caught the arm and flung it away, and blood started gushing out of his stump. And he said, "This is the arm that humiliated Draupadi, and today this arm is been cut off." And he pounded Dushasan, and he was roaring with such ferocity that the roars could be heard not just around by the warriors, but they reverberated from miles around. And the warriors around him were shocked, just couldn't tolerate, they're terrified just by seeing the sight and hearing the sound of Bhima. And then Bhima took up his bow. Now Dushasan, he took up his sword, raised it up, and he said that, "You are the evil one who caused us so much trouble. Today is the time for you to die." And he raised the sword and brought it down straight into his chest. And Dushasan fell back, screaming in pain. And suddenly, the scream died out. And Bhima ripped his heart out from his dead body. And then he picked up the blood. And he raised the blood right to his lips. And the whole army was watching it appear as if he drank the blood. His whole face became bloodied. And there he said, "Oh, this blood is sweeter than mother's milk, is sweeter than honey, and sweeter than pure water. By drinking this blood, I have satisfied my anger. My vow is honored. Oh, Dushasan, you were the root of the evil that we suffered. And you deserve to die. You were not safe as long as I was alive. And now you are safe because now you are dead. And he turned around, roaring in anger, facing the Kauravas. And they all horrified to see this extraordinary powers and this unbearable fierceness. Bhima was a sight to behold, or rather he was a sight that nobody could behold. And he just, people just sprang, they just couldn't face him, they couldn't tolerate him. And Bhima, he turned towards Krishna and Arjuna, who were fighting. And he said, "Now my vow is honored. And soon, I will kill that last of the wicked Kauravas. I'll kill Duryodhana and this war will end." And as he spoke thus, the whole Kaurava army became fearful. Now, Dushasana's other brothers, initially they were horrified, but then they felt angered and they charged towards Bhima to try to somehow or the other kill him. And Bhima just, the remorseless rage, charged into them one by one by one. Actually, before the, so he just started killing them one by one by one. Before this also, in a confrontation between Karna and Bhima had happened, Bhima had overpowered Karna. And when Karna was left carless because the chariot had been destroyed by Bhima, so one of Karna's, one of Bhima's, Duryodhana's brothers, one of the Kauravas came to assist Bhima and assist Karna by bringing his chariot right next to Karna. And as Karna got of his chariot and tried to come on to the chariot of that Kaurava, Bhima shot arrows with such fierceness that that Kaurava could not counter it, and that Kaurava died. And then Karna was shocked. Karna just barely circumambulated that warrior. And it was just another Kaurava brother came to help him. And Bhima killed that Kaurava brother also. Another Kaurava brother came to help him. So Karna was charioteerless. And Karna was supposed to be the commander who was supposed to protect everyone. But the Kauravas came to protect him. And whoever came to face, Bhima was killed by one. And that time Vikarna also came. Now Vikarna had been the only one who had protested against the disrobing of Draupadi. And he had stood by the side of virtue, even though he belonged to the party of vice. And Bhima felt slight remorse when he had to kill Vikarna. But knowing that he had a vow to fulfill, and knowing that he also had, that Vikarna had ultimately sealed his own fate, although he had spoken against the Kauravas, against Duryodhana, but eventually when he had to choose, he had chosen the side of evil, so he had to die. So he killed Vikarna also. And on this day, this had happened earlier. That time itself, Karna had been horrified one by one by one. He had seen one by, everybody was being killed by Bhima. And then on now, again when he saw Dushyasana being killed, and he saw the other brothers of Duryodhana also being killed, and Bhima's, his whole face was bloodied and his countenance was horrifying. Karna, his mouth fell open and the bow slipped from his hand. And looking at Bhima with undisguised fear, and he said, "Who's this? What is this?" "Probably some evil spirit, some bloodthirsty Rakshasa spirit has possessed the body of Bhima, and that spirit is of inestimable might. How can we fight against such a person?" Seeing Karna, who was the commander, like this, you know, horrified and putting aside his weapons, one of Karna's sons came to challenge Bhima, and he attacked Bhima fiercely. But Bhima just tore into that son and killed him. And Karna just came back to his senses, and Karna attacked Bhima. And then again there was a fight, and eventually, seeing that the Pandavas were breaking havoc, the other Kaurava troops also came to assist. And then Karna and Bhima got disengaged, and eventually Karna fought with Arjuna. And on that 17th evening, Karna was killed by Arjuna. How that happened, we'll discuss later. But 17th day, Bhima exhibited such prowess that not only did he kill Dushyasana, but he killed all the remaining Kauravas except Duryodhana. And by the end of that day, Duryodhana was left all alone. His all his brothers were dead, and even his foremost friend Karna was dead. And on the 18th day, Shalya was made the commander, and again Duryodhana came into the army to fight. But already his warriors and soldiers, they knew that the cause was lost, that there was no way they could win. And their heart was not in the fight at all. But somehow they came and they fought. And one by one, right in front of the eyes of Duryodhana, he tried to fight with whatever fierceness he could muster. But Shakuni was killed. Sahadev, then Shalya was killed by Yudhishthir. And seeing that none of his weapons were working, Duryodhana fled. And as Duryodhana fled, then Bhima and the Pandavas charged. But Duryodhana went so quickly, he went and hid inside a river. When he hid inside that river, he used his mystic prowess by which he could maintain his life. And he also made the river water motionless. And at that time, eventually his hiding place was discovered. Some hunters had seen him talking with the three surviving Kaurava generals, Kripa, Ashwatthama and Kritavarman, till everybody else had been killed. And the hunters understood that Duryodhana is inside. So they went and gave a message to Yudhishthir. And then Yudhishthir and the Pandava warriors came there, and Yudhishthir challenged Bhima, Duryodhana, come out. Now, why are you hiding like a coward? So Duryodhana said, I am not a coward. He said, I am not a coward. I am just tired. Now you also take rest, and then I'll come back and fight, and I'll kill all of you. So Yudhishthir said, no, you cannot kill us. You have rested enough. Let us fight now. We also rested enough. And he said, how can I fight? You know, you are so many, and you have so many weapons, and I am charioteerless. He said, no, you just come out and you can fight with any one of us, with any weapon of your choice. Now, Duryodhana, he could have chosen to fight with any of the Kaurava, any of the Pandavas. And especially in the mace fight, it would have been difficult for the Pandavas except for Bhima to win. So Krishna raised his eyes in disapproval of Yudhishthira's generosity, unwarranted generosity. But Duryodhana, out of his arrogance, he said that none of you are a match to me. I'll fight with Bhima and I'll fight with a mace. So actually, this sort of arrogance had also caused Jayadrath earlier. Jayadrath could have chosen to fight with, Jarasandha, when Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima had gone and they had an opportunity to wrestle. So he could have chosen to wrestle with Arjuna, and Jarasandha was actually stronger than Arjuna. But he chose Bhima. So similarly, Duryodhana also chose Bhima. And then it was decided that the fight will happen at 7th Panchak. All this was Kurukshetra, but Kurukshetra plains are large. 7th Panchak is the place. It's a lake where after Parshuram killed the Kaurav, after killed the Kauravas, he killed the Kshatriyas. Then that's where he bathed. And that's where the blood was deposited, sort of. So it is a holy, holy place because the world has been purified over there. So they decided to have that war over there. And both Bhima and Duryodhana were waiting for the war to begin. And eventually when they came there, then the war began. And both of them fought fiercely. This was going to be the last war. Now, just before the battle, Gandhari had come to in the evening of the 17th day, Gandhari reached the Kaurava camp, and she knew only Duryodhana was remaining. So she gave Duryodhana the power of her asceticism through her eyes, by which Duryodhana's body had become almost invulnerable. And now, although both of them were more or less matched, Bhima, he had lived in a forest, so he could and Duryodhana had lived inside in a palace. So living in a palace, having all royal facilities, Bhima had practiced and had become unparalleled with respect to skill in fighting. Now Bhima did not have that kind of facilities when he was living in the forest. But still, he had utilized his strength. And in terms of strength, he was superior to Duryodhana. In terms of skill, Duryodhana was superior to him. And the fighting, so it would have been that way an equal match. Maybe Duryodhana might have been slightly better because of skill, but Bhima was better because of the strength. But now with Gandhari's wow coming into the picture. So Bhima's superior strength was countered. Because no matter how much Bhima would hit, there would be no effect on the on Duryodhana. So therefore, what to do now? Knowing that predicament was terrible, as the fight went on and on and on, you know, repeatedly Bhima would hit with all his power, and somehow Duryodhana with his skill would parry the blow, would avoid the blow, and would hit back at Bhima. Bhima would also either avoid the blow, but he would be hit. And they were like graceful fighter, dancers, you know, fighting. And slowly but surely, Duryodhana started gaining the upper hand. Not because he was better, but because he had been made better by Gandhari's vow. And Bhima was fighting. And right in the initially only, Bhima had, through his sheer speed and strength, he had overpowered Duryodhana's skillful maneuvers and hit him full on the body. You know, and the blow was such that Duryodhana was thrown off. And normally this blow would have been mortal. The body would have been shattered to pieces. But all that happened was Duryodhana was thrown off, but nothing happened to him. And he's got up with a wicked grin on his face. And Bhima was shocked. So, no matter how hard with a mace Bhima would hit, there would be no use. Because the enemy was... his body was unbreakable. So what could Bhima do? You know, he could use all his strength to hit and nothing would happen. And Duryodhana was fighting. And although Bhima was also extremely powerful, he had no such benediction of an unbreakable body. And slowly, Duryodhana was getting the better of Bhima. And then Arjuna asked Krishna, and Krishna said that, you know, Bhima has taken a vow to break the thigh of Duryodhana. So that vow he has to fulfill. So when he took this vow, now Bhima's plan was that he was going to defeat Duryodhana in a fair fight, and after defeating him in a fair fight, then he was planning to break the thigh of Bhima, of Duryodhana. But then when he realized that there's no way he could win, then Arjuna pointed down towards his thigh. And Bhima caught his eyes and he nodded. And as he nodded, then as the fight was going on and on, at one particular point, Bhima's blows Duryodhana avoided, and Duryodhana pounded into the body of Bhima. And Bhima was shaken, stunned, he was jolted. But being a fierce Kshatriya, Bhima did not show any pain. Now, at that time, Bhima was vulnerable, and another blow by Duryodhana would have changed the balance of power tragically for Bhima. But because Bhima, by Kshatriya prowess, showed no emotion, no sign of weakness, Duryodhana was shocked, because now he had expended his power in hitting a blow, and if nothing happens, you know, he just retreated. Because normally when one person hits a blow, either the other person knocked down, other person will hit back. So now, in order to not be in the range of the blow, he immediately withdrew. And he did not attack. And that is how Bhima, despite being in pain, despite being wounded, he just maintained his Kshatriya gallantry. And then he swung around his blow. And then, in a wrestling move called Avasthana. So Bhima, as Bhima swung his mace around, Duryodhana jumped up. And Duryodhana jumped up, he would normally have missed the blow. But the way he swung it, as Duryodhana was jumping up, the mace hit Duryodhana on the thighs. Now, because Duryodhana had covered his thighs with a cloth, so his thighs were still vulnerable. And they had not been they had not got the benefit of the protective glands of Gandhari. And just that one blow was enough. And Duryodhana's, the cracking of the bones of his thigh could be heard by everyone. Duryodhana screamed in mortal pain and he fell on the ground. And everybody knew that the war was over. Now Balramji had come to watch the fight. And when Balramji saw that Duryodhana had been overpowered, he got angry. And he said, "Oh, you wicked one. You're not meant to hit under the waist. Never hit the thigh. So, you have fought unfairly and therefore you should be killed." And Balramji started charging towards Bhima to kill him with his mace raised up high. And Bhima, knowing that Balramji was his teacher also. Now, Balram had taught Bhima as well as Duryodhana. But somehow Balram had developed special affection for Duryodhana. And Duryodhana had been an adept disciple, learning a lot from him also. So, still treating Balram as his guru, Bhima just folded his hands and waited. If Balram wanted to kill him, Bhima would not protest. Now, Bhima had accepted Krishna's instruction that he should be hit under the thigh. So, he knew that it was supremely moral. But still, he knew Balramji is also Krishna. So, he accepted Balramji's will if that was him to die. He just folded his hands. So, here we see submissiveness in Bhima also to extraordinary degree. But immediately Krishna intervened and he said, "Oh brother, you know, you remember how evil the Kauravas were. Remember how they dishonored Draupadi. Remember how they dispossessed and exiled the Pandavas. Remember what atrocities they committed against the Pandavas. Remember how they killed Abhimanyu. You know, these Kauravas had to be killed by whatever means was possible. And that is the cause of justice." So, what Bhima has done is to ultimately pursue the cause of justice. There is no need for you to be angry with him. And in this way, Krishna pacified Balram to some extent. And then Balram departed in a huff. And then Bhima turned around and he kicked Duryodhana on the chest. All the anger that had been there in Bhima for years and years and years, it had got some occasional vents for expression. But now, Duryodhana, who had been the actual root of all their evil, now to vent out all that anger against him, kicked him with all the ferocity. Now this was against Kshatriya codes, and several Kshatriyas protested. And then Bhima told Duryodhana, "You wicked one, you have now met the fate that you are supposed to meet. You are going to die." And as he spoke like this, Duryodhana still had his arrogance. And he said, "You know, you cheated. How dare you be so proud? You cheated and you killed me. Do you not know that I didn't see how you killed me? I saw it quite well. And that wicked Krishna told you through Arjuna. And I saw that move. If you had fought fairly, then I would never have been killed." So Krishna again chastised Duryodhana and he said, "Now, why are you talking about a fair fight now? When did you fight fairly?" And he enlisted all the wrongs that he had done. So Bhima, in this way, won the final war for the Pandavas by killing Duryodhana. And after that, Bhima kept fighting. And as he kept fighting, after that, Bhima was made the Yuvraj. Yudhishthira became the king. Bhima became the next after him. And after that, Bhima continued his heroism in the service of Krishna as the assistant of Yudhishthira. And then we know that Bhima had his own special flavor with Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra tried to kill him. We discussed that story. And Bhima was protected by Krishna because Krishna brought an effigy of Bhima by his mystic power. But remembering how Bhima, Dhritarashtra had allowed, been passive and even instigated to some extent Duryodhana's evil deeds. Remembering how Dhritarashtra had also been asking in the gambling match, "Has Panchali been won?" I mean, how he had been laughing. Bhima, he could not forgive. Dhritarashtra. And he sometimes jeered Dhritarashtra. Although Yudhishthira offered him all respect. And Yudhishthira ordered all the citizens and the courtiers to offer respect to Dhritarashtra as if he were the king. Bhima did not do that. And Bhima told him that Bhima would, well, without Yudhishthira's knowledge, Bhima would come in the vicinity of Dhritarashtra and he would say, these are the arms which I killed the evil Kauravas. I killed them one by one. And in this way he would torment Dhritarashtra. Now in one sense we may see why was Bhima getting some sadistic pleasure like this. Now the point is that through this, slowly but surely, Dhritarashtra's material attachments were being worked out. And eventually, when Vidura came to instruct Dhritarashtra, then what did he say? He says, you know, you are eating the remnants which are thrown by Bhima. And those words were intolerable. So, although Bhima seemed to be very unforgiving and hurting towards Dhritarashtra, ultimately that was one of the factors which acted towards the ultimate renunciation of Dhritarashtra. And then we know how Bhima went with the Pandavas right up to the forest when they decided to take their final journey. And he went right up to the topmost almost. You know, all the other Pandavas fell away. We discussed this journey which comes in the Mahaprasthanaik Parva, Swargarohan Parva, going towards the heavens. So he was among the most virtuous and therefore he remained just till the last, and he was the last to fall before Yudhishthir, eventually reached the peak of the mountain and went to the heavens. So this is the glory of Bhima. And we'll continue and we'll discuss about Arjuna in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.